Welcome into the lineup. I'm Alex Grondin alongside Will Clifford and Alex Ferentz. Guys, we're a little bit about a month into the MLB season. What are some of the surprising teams so far?
Yeah, this is a great time to be a sports fan, guys. NBA playoffs underway, NHL playoffs around the corner, but what's better than baseball? And I think one of the most surprising teams in the MLB thus far, you mentioned almost a month in, is the Pittsburgh Pirates. If you told Pirates fans that Paul Skenes was going to have the fifth best ERA on the team, they would have thought the season's over already. And yet they're tied atop the NL Central. Connor Griffin getting that 9-year extension, $140 million as a rookie. Things are looking up in Pittsburgh.
No, Pittsburgh's a team that's had a lot of young guys coming through the system, and now they're finally pushing out to the top. So it's kind of nice to see them seeing a little success, especially because it feels like they've been so stuck offensively these last couple of years.
Any other teams, Will, that you have at the top?
For me, I've been a little surprised by Minnesota. I think the Twins have been really good. They've had a little pop in their bats, which isn't something that you usually see out of Minnesota, but this year they've been really driving the ball well, and so that's making them pretty exciting to watch. Who knows if that'll stick out, but their pitching's also been pretty solid, and that division's been pretty competitive, which has been a little surprising because usually it's a little bit of a pushover as a division.
Yeah, I think it's still to be seen if the Twins are for real, but last year at the deadline, they slashed their payroll to under $100 million, less than $100 million than the Tigers, their AL Central foes. And yet, they're right there at the top.
It's one of those weird things where sometimes less can be more. I think they knew that they had some guys coming up through their system who they thought would be able to help out their team this year. And I personally didn't think that was the case. I thought that they were going to go into a hard rebuild. I was wrong. And they seem to be having at least a little bit of success. And it is a long season. So that is the thing that you can't forget. Just because they're hot now, we could come back 2 weeks from now and be like, oh my goodness, the Minnesota Twins are so horrible. And that's just the nature of baseball. So I think at the end of the day, yes, they're hot right now, but I'm not sure if what they're doing is something that they could keep up. Whereas a team like the Marlins, who play a version of small ball that I like a lot more, I think that's a lot more sustainable, and you could see them be a very pesky team all throughout the season.
And I think all three teams we've mentioned so far, Will, yes, it's a nice story for now, but I think we will see a little bit of a fall off. But how about the Atlanta Braves? They come into this season with pitching injuries galore in spring training. It looked bleak, and Spencer Strider goes out, Jerickson Profar is suspended for the season, and yet they've been phenomenal. If Ronald Acuna gets going, Will Riley, we haven't seen their stars really get going at the plate either. That's a team that could compete for the World Series.
Oh, no, completely, and especially in a division where the Mets have struggled a little bit, they've really taken over, and I think that team is very competitive. They've got guys who are giving good at-bats, 1 through 9 in the lineup. Their pitching is solid. You mentioned Spencer Strider. And this is a team that is a little bit removed from a World Series, but it's not ridiculous. They still have a couple key pieces that could bring them back there. There is a world where that team does make a deep playoff push simply because Ronald Acuna Jr., when he is hitting the ball, hits the ball very well and very consistently. And the pitching depth is also there, too, to bring him a long way.
And how about Dominic Smith? They bring him in on a 1-year deal, and he's hitting 380 with 3 home runs. That's instant impact from a guy wasn't sure he was going to make the major league roster.
Well, guys, look, we have surprisingly good and we have surprisingly disappointing as well. And, I mean, if we look at the American League right now, we might be asking ourselves, what's going on in that? I also look at the American League East and I'm like, what is even going on there? We have the Rays sitting atop of the division right now. Meanwhile, the big teams like the Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners, and Jays are not doing well so far.
I mean, the Yankees started off really hot. They won their first 3 series, and then they fell, and they fell some more. And they had a 6-game losing skid, which was kind of uncharacteristic because if you watch them against the Giants in that first series of the year and then against Seattle in the second, you would have thought that the Yankees were unstoppable. But all of a sudden, the bats fall asleep, and the pitching was there all the way through, and it still is, although the Yankees are having some bullpen issues, guys. But besides that, the offense is too dormant. Ben Rice has been hitting. Aaron Judge just started to hit. He's now tied for the league lead in home runs. But outside of that, Jazz Chisholm isn't hitting. You're not having any production from shortstop. Bellinger isn't where they thought that he would be. Same thing with Trent Grisham. Of course, again, we say it's a 162-game season. Things can change, but right now, a little strange for the Yankees, and they've got some kinks to work out for sure.
Yeah, but the Yankees do feel like they'll come good. It seems like they always do as we head into the dog days of summer. How about the Red Sox, though? Replace Bregman, don't bring him back. Obviously, he heads to Chicago. trade for Caleb Durbin from the Brewers, and he has been dreadful. They have five players hitting under 200. I think it's time to worry about Alex Cora and the Red Sox.
Oh, I think it's big time to worry about the Red Sox. I mean, Alex Cora is a guy who is one of the most consistent managers in the league. But the Red Sox as a whole, the pitching isn't there, and the offense is so slow that they can't compete. And then in left field, you have a guy who can't make throws to home plate. I mean, the guy who's supposed to be your number one hitter, your number one prospect, and he's not doing much for you. So I think it's time to be concerned for the Red Sox. I know it's early, but there's not much sign of life from that Red Sox team.
And while it's not Alex Cora's fault necessarily, I think we could see him take the fall sooner rather than later if things don't turn around. How about another manager that could take the fall? Tony Vitello for the Giants comes in from Tennessee, and I think he might have single-handedly ruined the college baseball manager to the MLB pipeline.
I mean, he might have. That's not a normal pipeline that you see. That was interesting hire when it happened, and at this point in the season, it's early. But the things that are coming out of that clubhouse are strange. Guys are getting into fights. He said that they were too motivated going into games, especially against the Yankees. What does that mean? How are you too motivated going into a game? I don't understand it. They have bats on that team, and the Giants organization is a very smart organization that they always seem to find a way to win in that NL West that just seems so competitive every single year. But I just don't really get what's going on with the Giants, with Tony. Who knows? Maybe they'll turn it around, give them a little bit of time, you know, but it's a little strange thing, and it's an experiment that might be worth watching because it could get shut down.
And yeah, you mentioned those bats, but they've been cold. They're last in the league in RBIs, and they have 9 home runs as a team. Jordan Walker has 8 on his own. So I think it might be time to worry about San Francisco.
It is. And another team that I'm worried about in the AL West, flipping back over a little bit, is the Astros, a team that seems so consistently good, kind of like the Giants. But this year, their offense has been very strong. Yordan Alvarez is one of my favorite players to watch so far this year. But the pitching has been horrible. The worst ERA in baseball. And that's got them with one of the worst records in baseball. That is a standard that you don't see from this Houston Astros team that we're so used to seeing atop the division and atop the MLB.
And I think we'd be remiss if we don't mention arguably the most disappointing team so far, blue and orange, the New York Mets. They've lost 8 in a row. In the last 38 innings, guys, they've scored 3 runs. Francisco Lindor, he's $380 million man. He's supposed to be your star. He has 1 RBI. Bo Bichette has disappointed mightily. And while I think they'll turn it around, they're so talented. Nolan McLean on the bump has enough power to, when he's on his day, carry you to a win. But they've been struggling mightily.
The thing about the Mets that interests me is, like, usually I would say, oh, you know, getting off to a slow start, not the biggest deal. But when you're in that division with the Braves, there is no room for that error to be falling behind this early in the season, especially as a Mets team that has struggled towards the end of the year multiple years in a row where they cannot close it out. They missed the playoffs last year. And if they, I'm not saying that they need to get going now so they don't miss the playoffs, but you don't want to get stuck into that hole.
And David Peterson and Kadai Senga both near 7 ERA. So got to bring that down if you want to turn the tides.
And look, switching away from teams, kind of focusing on some of the individual players, who are some of the standout guys for you so far?
For me, Mike Trout has been incredible. He's on pace for another 10.5 WAR season, like his 2011 and 2016 years. I mean, the guy is just mashing. There's him and Aaron Judge were going at it this weekend in a 4-game set. And I think if he stays healthy, you know, he could be in the MVP conversation, which is something that we seem to be saying every single year. But it's just, we always forget how fun it is to watch Mike Trout play. This guy plays defense so well, and at the plate, he just mashes. So I've loved watching Mike Trout so far, and I think that if he stays healthy, you got to watch out.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think we're going to look back on in 20 years and think, wow, he was so great. How did he never win anything? And guys, the Dodgers, which I think we'll get to in a second, are one of the teams that have superstars, 1 through 9. And then there's Andy Páez, who maybe isn't that, but he's leading the league over 400 batting average and 20 RBIs. That's a guy that's leading a lineup full of Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm. And then one pitcher that I wanted to touch on real quick before we go as well was Max Fried from the Yankees. He started the season off strong. He's leading the league in quality starts with 4. He's a guy who, if he keeps his ERA down, could be a sneaky Cy Young guy. He's kind of trickled around there a little bit, but always fallen a little behind the top names. I think you could see him kind of sneaking behind this year, especially if the Yankees' bats get going and they start picking up more wins. You could see some pretty impressive numbers from Max Fried.
How about Mason Miller out of pen? Faced 27 guys, struck out 20 of them. I mean, he's unhittable right now. rejected moving to the starting rotation, I think it's looking to be a great move.
I don't know. I like him out of the pen, though. I like the corn, you know, the blind. That's one of my favorite songs.
Well, look, guys, there's a lot of storylines to follow throughout the season. 162-game season, still plenty of baseball to go on. But when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs.